annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center August 16th through the 18th. Right now, we'll take the first caller. First caller for Hoffman as he celebrates and joy. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your chance to win 4-pack of tickets and be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival of Fanatics Fest from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit fanaticsfest.com for the full athletic lineup. Malusis and Livingston with you on a Wednesday midday. I got the Olympics on. I've been into the Olympics. I'll be honest with you, Otis. I know you and Hoffman were talking about maybe cornhole being part of the Olympics in the not-so-distant future. But I think, and I love the fact that you've got live sporting events on during the course of the day. Mm-hmm. You can have it on in the background. Obviously, some of the stories. NBC's done a remarkable job of getting you, you know, to know the athletes, sports that you don't, you know, that I don't follow year round.
Right.
You get to, you know, the work ethic and everything that comes along with it, the dedication from family and friends to get into it. I get into the Olympics.
Yeah, I do too. And the sacrifices that are made to get there, and it's once every 4 years, you know, and you can put all that training into it and then have it just go by the wayside, a simple event. Yeah, I love it. I was able to cover two Olympics.
What two Olympics did you cover?
Athens Games in 2004. That was awesome, the Summer Games. And then the Winter Games in 2006 in Torino, Italy.
Look at that.
It's a great...
That's the good draw there. Italy for the Winter Olympics and Athens for the Summer Games.
Yeah, the birthplace of the Olympics. That was great. That was the first time it went back there in a long time.
Now, covering it, was it enjoyable or was it like you were just exhausted at the end?
Oh, no, it was enjoyable because it's the whole...
You can be honest.
The patriotism of the whole thing. I had my own show, so it was cool. What I mean? It was on Bravo. It was great. I had a great time. My wife was able to come over there for half of the time, so we spent some time together in Greece, which we probably wouldn't have done if, you know, just on under normal circumstances. So it was really great. And you're right. The storytelling, that's what the Olympics is all about, is the sacrifices, the commitment, the talent that it takes to get here, you know, because there's a lot of guys that are sitting on the couch saying, oh, I could do that, but it takes a lot to actually get there. And we got to bring those stories up close and personal, and it makes you root for certain people. Like, listen to Noah Lyles, you know, the 100-meter champion who's going for the 200 meters as well. ADD, anxiety, depression, allergies, asthma, all these sort of things, and he's the fastest man in the world. Yeah, it was the just the torso that pushed him across the line, but he's the fastest man in the world. That's a great story, you know, and you can root for a guy like that.
I tell my kids all the time, listen, boys, you got to work. All right? You got to work for it. Now, do they listen? They're 11, 9, and 7. You try and instill that kind of work ethic when they're young. Mm-hmm. They still want to be kids, right?
Yeah.
So they want to play video games. They want to hop online. They want to go out there and whatever it might be, Roblox or this or that. So, you know, they don't want to necessarily go out there and take shots in the driveway and do all those kind of things. But, that'll come over the course of time, but you marvel at the dedication for some of these athletes to put themselves in this kind of position to be successful. And the Olympics, to me, you know, there's some that love it, some that don't. Like, I think it's great. You get locked into it. It happens, you know, every couple of years where you see the summer or the winter games and you get into it.
Yeah. No, it's an
experience. Then I forget about all of it, but then you get into it.
For another 2 years.
Yeah, for another 2 years,
yeah,
right.
I mean...
But for 2 weeks, I'm locked into gymnastics, baby. I can't get enough.
I think that, you know, there's a fine line there. You know what I mean? I don't know what age it's supposed to be where you all of a sudden get really, really dedicated. Some are earlier than others. You want your kids to be kids and to enjoy themselves. Because once they look back on their lives, you know what I mean? It's just a fine line for me. And as a dad who has athletes, you know, as for children, it was kind of tough to navigate that. You know what I mean? Because you see ability, you see talent, and you project, oh, he's going to be this, or he's going to be, or she's going to be that. So you want to go, you know, kind of 100%, and you got to be all in and stuff like that. But in the end, they have to be kids as well, you know. And
well,
gotta,
they got to enjoy their childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see it.
Exactly.
I mean, there are parents that are nutso when they come to their kids and athletics.
Me.
They're just gone. Were you really?
Oh,
were
yeah.
you really?
Yeah, I kind of, yeah.
Were you really?
I went for it. Yeah, I went for it.
Were you pushing?
Pushing? Yeah, I mean, I...
Guiding?
I think to a
were
point.
You coaching where, on the sideline?
I did that sometimes.
You did?
Yeah.
See, you're a soft-spoken guy. I can't imagine. Are you screaming at your kids from the sideline?
Let's talk off mic.
No, I want to hear more of this. Because no, I never pictured that from you, Otis.
I think that part of it was, just like I was saying a minute ago, like, you can see something, you want to nurture it, you want to push it, you want to... And sometimes the kids, as you were saying, they don't really... want to go 100%. You know what I mean? So yeah, there was a little bit of that. And with one, my oldest son, yeah, it was a little bit more, you know what I mean? And things that, of course, that I regret later on when you look back on it, because of that aspect that you're talking about, wanting them to remain kids and have a great childhood and stuff like that. I mean, right
but,
now.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
it,
I don't, I,
it was
I
a
have
lot.
A, I
it
have
was
a hard
lot.
Time envisioning. Like, I've given my son pep talks.
Yeah.
Like, I've, you know, where, you know, you drive 3 hours to go play a hockey game and then he's skating around in circles. And I'm like, Jackson, like, you know, get in the car and you're like steaming. Because
yes.
Number one, you've dedicated your entire day to go play a hockey game. And then he's not focused, or he's like not paying attention, or he's playing with it, you know, and doing all these things. And I'll be like, listen, it doesn't matter to me. I just want you to be passionate about what you do.
Yes.
So whatever that might be, mommy and daddy are going to support you.
Right.
And if this is not it, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Like, I really am.
Right.
I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not necessarily where you need to go out there and do this. If you sign up for a team, you're going to complete the season.
Exactly.
But there have been times where I'm like, Jackson, like, I can't go out there, drive 3 hours, wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then go out there and watch you skate on the ice like it's figure skating,
it
like you're playing hockey.
It is a commitment.
It is.
And a lot of times it's a commitment by the whole family. You know, we're committed to that. And sometimes, I wasn't at my best. Let's just put it like that. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like that.
That's interesting.
I never really had to question Otis Jr.'s commitment or focus or anything like that. But it was the results, you know what I mean, and what we're trying to do. I felt like we were on a hamster wheel. We had to be here, there, stuff like that. So you know what I mean.
And everyone's ringing the cash register.
So exactly. But that was a me problem, not necessarily the kid. The kid's gonna play. They're gonna have fun. They're gonna, unless you take that away from them. You know
no,
I mean?
No. That's
you know
not,
what I'm saying?
No.
So that's not the goal.
No, we're all signed up for hockey. Believe me. We're ready to go. It gets going later on this month.
Let's go.
Got
do
training
it.
Camps and
Let's
all that.
Let's do that hockey.
Well, but yes, there's. It's just like it's fun when you have kids in sports.
Yeah,
you know it's fun. You know you're more nervous for them than anything else when they step on the competitive field. Number one, you want them to stay healthy. You want them to be a good teammate. You want them to go out there and play hard. Like, we get into these conversations, say, you know, bring it full circle, and you talk about Gleyber Torres with the Yankees, right? And talk about, like, as I'm giving my son Jackson a pep talk, right? He's 11, right? I'm not comparing my son to a professional athlete. But the point being is the mindset of playing hard has nothing to do with talent.
Right.
Like, there are
anybody
different...
Anybody could do that.
Anybody could play hard.
Yep.
You could be the least talented player on a hockey team, basketball team, football team, whatever it might be. That is a matter of effort. That is a mindset. So it gets frustrating when you look at a guy like Gleyber, who has now had a couple of issues, two or three of them this year, if memory serves me right, where hustle has been an issue.
Yeah.
And that's where you get into the he's got a lot on the line, a lot of pressure. He wants to get paid after this season. It is a contract year. Obviously, the year has not gone his way. He's been scolded. He's been benched. He got, you know, called out by and got taken out of the game on Friday night by Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
But that's a mindset. I don't know what makes Gleyber tick, Otis. It's frustrating because he's an extremely talented young man, very good offensive player when his mind is right.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly his mind has not been right this year. But that's all about a mindset, playing hard.
It certainly is. And then you couple the lack of hustle from the offensive side to some of the lackadaisical plays in the field. Now you're
never
really
gonna be
like
confused
a well-rounded,
with Robbie Alomar
lazy
defensively.
Guy. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's a bad situation for him. Hopefully, he was able to stand up at his locker, you know, and take the questions and answer the questions and said the right things in the post-game interview after he was pulled from the lineup. And let's just see if that turns everything around. I mean, I believe he's had some hits since then. So hopefully it refocuses him. But it's all about effort. It's all about a mindset. It's all about what you want to get accomplished to help this team win and being focused while you're out there.
Let's head out to Pearl River. It's Ryan. It's the fan. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Ryan.
So I want to make a point about the Yankee lineup. First off, I think Judge should bat second. This team needs some protection behind him. You know, if they're going to walk him, and you saw the Blue Jays this past week, you know, intentionally walk, try to put him on. You need someone that's not Austin Wells behind Judge, giving him some protection. So Soto batting behind him would be just a tremendous option. Also, one more thing, big game tonight at the JCC in Nanuet, New York. Stan the Man's making his coaching debut, so if anyone wants to pop out to that, that would be great. And then I'll hang up and listen.
So a personal shout out to there. There you go.
Stan the Man.
Good luck to Stan the Man making his coaching debut at JCC in beautiful Nanuet, New York.
The shame of the Giancarlo Stanton injury, he was playing well.
He was.
I know that we...
He was a threat in the middle of that lineup.
You can count on something happening every year with him, you know, injury-wise.
No doubt.
Unfortunately. But, man, he was playing well. That's that protection that Judge would have, right?
Yeah, well, the question comes down to, if you're going to do that, then you're not going to have protection for Soto. So who needs more protection?
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So Judge is going to get treated like, you know, you saw something that hasn't happened in 50 years of Major League Baseball, what the Toronto Blue Jays did, you know, in less than the third inning, two out, nobody on, and they walked Aaron Judge because they didn't want to see him go out there and hit another home run, which he did in the first two previous games early in the game, both two-run blasts. Judge is a unicorn. Yeah. We like to throw that name around,
right.
But he's an unbelievable Yankee, historically great. What he's been able to do during the course of the regular season, he's got one thing left to do, and that is to lead this team to a World Series title. I mean, that's really all that Judge has left to accomplish. He's been a remarkable leader, great captain, remarkably productive, dealing with the pressure of the contract, mm-hmm. not an issue whatsoever, mm-hmm. dealing with the pressure, no jealousy with Juan Soto coming aboard, very, very confident in his own skin, and is a remarkably productive guy. It's amazing when you look at it, when he initially broke in with the Yankees, all the strikeouts that he had. It took him a while to adjust to the major league level, and since he has adjusted, his performance has been gargantuan.
And a total team guy. You know,
no doubt.
He is the epitome of what a captain would be. You know,
yes.
He bet on himself, turned down a contract, went out and had a career year, and a historic year, and earned the money, got the contract that he wanted, got the captaincy that I'm sure he wanted as well. Just homegrown, awesome situation. Like you said, no jealousy when Juan Soto came, more like welcome aboard. Let's try to win a championship.
Now, let me ask you this. Were you, as a father to your kids, were you to the level of Marv Marinovich?
No.
Were you like Heath Shuler, who never had fast food before he got...
No. I used to get them Slurpees, man. we played one-on-one in the driveway. All my kids would play, and the winner would get a Slurpee at the end of it. And then the rest of the kids had to watch whoever won drink their Slurpee in front of them. So, yeah, that was a little motivation.
That's good. It's like when I was playing Little League in Pearl River. Winning team got hot dog and Coke. I mean, that was it. The soda I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't that fanatical about it. But, yeah, I you know.
Look at that. I learned something about Otis.
It's kind of like if you are going to do something, put your all into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it's paid off. My oldest son is a professional and played in Germany last year, MVP and Offensive Player of the Year in the top German league. He'll be playing in Turkey this upcoming season. Leaves for Turkey on Sunday. So it paid off for him. You know
Otis,
what I
don't
mean?
Be surprised if this fall if I zoom you in and give you my son's a pep talk.